Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Thursday, January 25th. That means it's time for our bracket rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've got David Griggs and David Dorman with me up top here, John Slica below, John Titel and Matt Sikowski to his sides. And this is our bracket rundown show, but I want to do something real quick before we get to that show. We talked about it last night. We want to do it again, just for those of you who did not see our Under the Radar show last night. We have a new feature on the website, so I'm going to pull that up one more time for everybody to take a look at here.
Yeah.
Griggs, this is our website. There's your daily rundown for today up top there. But
yeah, there it is. I mean, and I'm thank you for showing that to everyone, Chad. That I appreciate the plug. And now it's time for the bracket rundown.
There are a lot of little tabs up here, but the new one right in the middle up top, Hoops HD team sheets. These team sheets we've been doing during these bracket rundown and Hoops HD reports, we have made them all available for anybody to view on the internet. They're not quite all up yet, but about half of them are up. Give it another day or two, they should all be up. But if you're sitting around at 3 o'clock in the morning and really want to know what USC Upstate's profile looks like, you can just go there, click on it, give it a second to load up. And if things work correctly, there you go. You got the South Carolina Upstate Spartans, and you can say, hey, they won at East Carolina. That was a nice win, right?
Yeah, and they got the home win against Longwood. And so these are very, very similar to the sheets the committee uses. There's a few subtle differences, but one of the similarities, as I said the other night, is the Hoops HD logo actually on the selection committee sheets.
And these are updated every day.
That. Yeah.
They're updated every day, so it's just brand new information. This is really cool. This is everything the committee gets to see.
Yeah, they're going to be updating probably by 9 a.m. every morning for now. I'm hoping, and I definitely will, we'll get to the championship week, update a couple times during the day, but I'm hoping maybe to make it update even quicker as we go a little bit further, maybe next season. That might be an off-season project. Live updates are a little difficult, more difficult than updates from the day before. Go ahead, Greg.
I just got to say, why the hell haven't you gotten them all up there yet, Chad? I mean, like, there's about 10, 12 conferences that are just completely missing.
Let's go to what we're actually going to do today. What we did today, a little different than what we've done in last week's show. What we did is I asked everybody who's here tonight, along with Joby Fortson and Rocco Miller, who could not join us for the show tonight, to submit to me a list of their top 55 teams, regardless of conference, just top 55 teams in the nation, which would be everybody that you think is currently in the NCAA tournament, plus probably your first 8 to 9 teams out, roughly, for most people. Kind of cross-country scored them like you would a top 25 ballot. Gave me a consensus list, which I then bracketed up. And we're going to reveal that Selection Sunday style. Did I get that
so
right?
So naturally, when we sent our list to Chad, he thought we had only sent 25 teams apiece.
I got all these emails from people saying, here's my 1-25 seed list. I was like, no, I wanted 55 teams, not 25 teams. It says January.
Chad does not own a calendar. Not realizing it was the date.
What we're going to do is go ahead and we're going to reveal these teams one at a time through the first 16 teams. Those are the ones that are highlighted in yellow. They're what we call protected seeds. They're the teams that will be favored to make the Sweet 16. Then we'll go one seed line at a time through the rest of the field. When we get to the end of the at-large bids, also show the top teams out. You see there were 16 teams there that actually got at least one vote, but did not actually make these fields. So there's all over the place. I'm going to call a few of you out, too, for some very crazy votes, especially you, Mr. Griggs.
All my votes are totally sane and normal. I'm the one that the committee tells. So it's a cross-country scored seed list. It isn't exactly the same procedure that the committee does. Our procedure is actually better. It's a lot faster. It takes them 3 or 4 days. We did it in about an hour.
I guess on that note, let's go ahead and start revealing some teams here. The number one team overall was not unanimous. There were two people that thought somebody else was number one overall. One of them is not on our show. Joby was one of them. But Purdue did come in at number one. Griggs, you were the only one that did not think they were
I didn't have them at number one. I had them behind UConn. Certainly really like Purdue. I understand the thought process. But I'm assuming Purdue is also on the one line. If we look at them side by side, I can just kind of show you, I think, what had me lean the other way.
There you go. The same team. And you can go click on these team sheets up there now if you want. These are both up there. Go ahead.
I thought Connecticut's losses were a little bit not as damaging. It, like Nebraska, Northwestern probably in the field. Kansas probably maybe on the top two lines, and Seton Hall probably hovering around 8 or 9 seed. I just thought that was a little better. I thought neutral at North Carolina was better than neutral against Arizona and Tennessee, because I really like this North Carolina team. So I was splitting hairs to do it. It wasn't by much. I am a little surprised that I was the only one that liked Connecticut more. I don't like them a lot more. I mean, it really is 1A and 1B. But yeah, I do think Connecticut, and on top of everything else, I just think they look a little better sometimes.
Dorman, you want to back up the pick that you and I and the rest of the panelists here tonight made of Purdue over UConn?
Yeah, it's tight, but I do like I like Purdue. Out of conference, they beat Arizona, they beat Tennessee, they beat Alabama, Marquette out of conference. Connecticut's been sensational for most of the year, and I do agree with Griggs. I do like to watch the teams and see what I think based on my own eye test, and I do. Connecticut looks great when they get out and start playing, running up and down, get that defense smothering all over. It's tight, but I like Purdue. Those tier one wins just are phenomenal to me, and the losses to me are right, almost the same.
And let's not forget that strength of schedule. Yes, 25 by UConn is good. 2 is amazing.
It's, yeah, I mean, you can't say Purdue didn't get out and play people.
Right.
In fact, you look at the bottom, look at Quad 4. UConn has a pile of games they played against garbage at home.
Yeah, I mean, that is ridiculous. Georgetown at home, DePaul at home. That is awful.
That's crazy. Those Big East games are tier fours.
Yeah.
It's absolutely no surprise UConn was number 2. In fact, these two teams were 1 or 2 in every single ballot that we received. So I don't think that is any surprise to anybody. But let's got a little more contentious when we got through spots 3 through 5 or so. But number 3 overall, Matt, it ended up being Houston, and I don't think that you went that. No, you did. You did go that way. You went with Houston number 3 overall.
Oh yeah, no, that's the one. I can't get Houston above 3, even though I'd probably in my mind try to get them because they got such a strong metrics. But their overall resume, it's starting to build a little bit, and that event there in South Carolina preseason that you thought ho hum, quietly they're starting to get some wins. The Dayton win from that, the Utah win from that. That turned out to be a pretty decent event. And yeah, also got the A&M neutral court win. And then at BYU, I think cinched them for me on the one line and as a number 3 overall, getting that at BYU, even though I don't think BYU probably isn't quite number 5 good. I'll deviate from the metrics a little bit on that. But it's still, I think, the spoiler alert, I'd BYU as a 6 seed. I don't know where that's going to fit for everyone else. But still a very nice road win. I think, yeah, like I said, cement them on the one line.
Well, Sleek, I want to let Sleek count to take the counter argument on Houston, because he was the only person that did not have him on the one line at all. You had them number 5 overall.
I think in the case with Houston, I happen to like North Carolina and Kansas a little bit more. I mean, yes, Houston does have the win against BYU on the road that's on their books now. And if you look at the wins that they had in the Charleston Classic, Dayton, Utah, Towson, that's going to be pretty nice. What Carolina has done, they've won 9 in a row. I know polls are not relevant, but this is a team that's going to be sweeping through their conference. In Houston, had a couple stumbles against Iowa State and TCU where they had the close loss. Now, granted, they're only 2 losses by a total of 5 points. But I think when you look at what Carolina has done, two true road wins in conference against Clemson and Pitt, the win against Oklahoma on a neutral court looking better than I thought it would back in December, and the win against Tennessee at home always going to be a nice feather in the cap.
Just for fun, last year I think Houston was a national title contender. I suppose they are again this year. Are they better or worse than they were a year ago?
And out of that, they weren't quite as good as Marcus Sasser this year.
Yeah. They're excellent, especially defensively. Oh, my God.
Defensively.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, their offense is only 15th in the nation, so that sucks compared to that number one defense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just a huge discrepancy there.
Number four overall, I don't think it's any surprise here. It was North Carolina. They did come in over a team like Kansas, who was mentioned. Let me quickly pull up Carolina versus Kansas here, though. Tytel, I think you had it. You had Carolina over Kansas as well. Is it the Kansas problem now? You know, just some head scratching losses despite those great wins.
It is. There's not a lot of one seeded teams with tier three losses, as you might imagine, and we have one on the left here in Kansas. Obviously, the good is very good. 7-2 against the top two tiers, 11-3 against the top three tiers, but they do have a stain on their resume, which is at West Virginia, whereas Carolina has only lost to tier one opponents, and they've all been very close, obviously. It's kind of a coin flip, though, in that, like, I think both these teams are good enough to win it all. I mean, let me rephrase that. Both teams are good enough to win it all, but I would give the edge to the Tar Heels based on the lack of bad.
Yeah, and that's how they ended up with our group here. They did end up with our fourth one seed. Let's just jump right into the five line here.
We're going to skip lines two.
Number five overall team here. It is not even Kansas yet. It is Dorman and Tytel. It is your team, Arizona. So, Dorman, let me go back to you on this Arizona team. Do you think Arkansas has got it right, putting them also over Kansas?
I do. I like the out-of-conference Alabama, Wisconsin on the road at Duke, to me, is more impressive than anything Kansas has done. I have Arizona. I have teams ahead of Kansas even here before we get to Kansas, but I got Arizona firmly at the five spot.
Yeah, I think, Salika, that you did not get any love from anybody else trying to put Kansas on the one line. It was more, as actually, I think there was a couple of votes for Arizona all the way up on the one line. Matt, you included. You thought Arizona was the fourth one seed even.
I love the top part of their resume. They're pretty strong. I think very strong in the predictive metrics, the resume performance there. Not quite as, but still good. I mean, look at the average overall rating, number four. So, like, if we went strictly based on resumes and all that, they have basically statistically the fourth best resume. So,
yeah, and you know, we don't want to have a quad three loss. They only have a quad two loss. That's a step better than Kansas, is it not?
That is. I mean, that neither are great. I'm not going to lose a ton of sleep over, but I mean, it might be like, hey, it might be if it's a close race between, say, Arizona and Kansas at the end, that might be the differentiator. It's a small one, but it might be if it's that tight.
Number six overall still was not Kansas. Sorry, Salika. It actually ended up being Tennessee number six overall. But Griggs, you had a comment on them.
Oh, I just really like this Tennessee team. I had them about right here. If it wasn't here, it was just one or two back. And I agree with the consensus of the committee. I love that win at Wisconsin. I think that's one of the better overall wins. Wisconsin, a protected seed, and they went in there and beat them at home. Really hard to do. And, you know, the Alabama win, not too bad either. And no real bad losses. All of it in tier one, and a lot, all but one of them most likely to protected seeds.
Yeah, everybody had Tennessee either 5, 6, or 7, one of these three spots here. It was pretty much unanimous that this is exactly where they belong, right in the middle of the two line. Number seven overall, we could finally get your Jayhawks in here. They weren't going to slip much further than this, despite that tier three loss. So we're discussing. Let's just jump right over to number eight.
Well,
overall,
they came very close to not being my Jayhawks after what they nearly did at home against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They're sticking by a lot lately. That's also
they have been. I mean, their resume looks solid, but when you start to look at it really closely and really go through it, I mean, they've had to sweat out some games that you wouldn't expect a team that ends up here to sweat out, and they've lost a couple of them.
Games number in the eight. Past, like years, they win by 20, you know, at fog, they kill you. They run you out of the building. This year, they're squeaking back.
Number eight overall, I already showed it on the screen there, was Wisconsin. A little kind of weird. Of all of us that voted, everybody had them at exactly number eight overall, except for Griggs, you had them at number nine overall. But, I mean, that's
outlier here?
That's as consensus as you could get on where a team belongs. And I mean, I There's nothing you can argue with when you look at this profile at all. I don't even know that it's worth too much of a discussion because it's right there. Tytel, you're nodding.
I am. It's a shame they have that loss at Penn State because I don't think that's going to be elevated to a tier one loss anytime soon. And they were 4 points away from only having tier one losses on their resume, which would be one seed caliber. For the Matt portion of our show, I think this becomes the question of, is Wisconsin definitely ahead of Marquette? I think the answer is yes, but I don't know about definitely. Secondly, can they play each other in the tournament since they've already played during the regular season? And third, do you want to be the number eight team, Matt, playing Houston in Dallas?
I'll go back on the two line if possible, but I mean, I think this is still for now the right decision. Wilson, there's fair amount of basketball to be played, but for now, I think that is the right decision to have Wisconsin as a final two seed.
We'll see where Marquette ends up, but just as a quick note to answer your question about can they rematch, the committee will do everything to avoid a first round rematch, but there's no way Marquette's going to be a 15 seed, so forget that. They also would try to avoid a second round match, but Marquette's not going to be a 7 seed either. So, but if Marquette's on the 3 line, yes, they could be in Dallas. That does not violate any bracketing rules whatsoever.
Tytel, to answer your question, would I like my team to be in Dallas potentially facing
Houston? He asked it to Matt. All right. Number nine. I mean, Clown College is even in the NCAA, Griggs.
Wait till you see our profile.
Marquette is our number nine overall team, but they actually end up in the Midwest region there. It's actually closer between Marquette to Detroit than it is to Marquette to Dallas, so that would be their preferred region anyhow. But there is...
Marquette is in Wisconsin, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely much closer to Detroit.
Yes. And that's how they put these teams there. Though. They're not going to put...
Chad was a geography major in college.
All right, gracious. Stalika, what about Marquette? Because I'm not even asked Matt because we know he either loves them or hates them depending on whether they won or lost their last game.
Well, Marquette did have a brief swoon earlier in the month with losses against Seton Hall and Butler. They seem to have righted the ship a bit with their win at home against Villanova. And then you also look back that they have a win against Kansas and Illinois on the road in their pockets. But I think the hanging on for the win at St. John's may prove to be even more pivotal because the Johnnies have been red hot of late with the Marquette game notwithstanding.
There was a lot of consensus through about this point. Then things started to get a little wilder between all the balloting. But Dorman, number 10 overall, ended up being the Creighton Blue Jays. You had them all the way down at 16. So you were not on board with Creighton on the 3 line.
No, I think there's a couple of SEC teams. I know they have both lost this week, but Creighton has also had some tumbles. They lost at UNLV, home to Villanova in overtime. I just thought those SEC teams that I think will pop up soon, yes, they lost this week, but I think their resume is a little stronger than Creighton.
Which SEC teams are you talking about? We'll throw one of them up there. Give me either one of them.
Auburn.
I think Auburn is an interesting team. And maybe let's take a quick second since you mentioned them here. Tytel, my problem with Auburn is there's a big old hole in Tier 1, isn't there not?
There appears to be a big old hole, Chad, partially due to the strength of schedule being outside the top 100, partially being the fact that the SEC has not had the quality of opponent to get up to Tier 1, although Alabama is certainly on the left, and they were close on the right. They had to turn off the lights just to beat. That's kosher, not. But no, I think that I would not rank Creighton much ahead of Auburn, if at all, because I believe in Auburn, even despite the big old hole.
Number 11 overall here. Griggs, it was not one of those SEC teams. It was, in fact, ended up being Baylor coming in here at number 11 overall. There was a wide variety from as good, high as 9 to as low as 15 on this Baylor team. Do you agree or not agree with this?
I don't disagree too much. They did beat on a neutral floor the Auburn team we were just talking about. Yeah. The win at BYU is decent. And one of the things about Baylor in looking at them for me was – you know, the losses at Texas, at K-State, Duke neutral floor, Michigan State's probably like the one, if there's one that has you scratching their head, but I mean, those are really high caliber games. K-State and Texas, not in the field yet, but you know, those teams play exceptionally well at home. And I just don't think, I think it was more of a lack of bad to go along with a really good neutral floor win with Auburn, that if I had to sell Baylor, that's what I look at. That's what I'd look at. And plus, I just think that they're really good and they're going to pick more up between now and the end.
Yeah. Number 12 overall, let's complete the three line here. Was Dorman an SEC team, but it ended up not being Auburn. It ended up being Kentucky that got the nod by our consensus voting over Auburn. Matt, did you, I think you had that correct. You had Kentucky over Auburn, or did you have it reversed? You had it reversed, actually.
Okay, yeah, and it's close. I can see why Kentucky, with that, basically that neutral court win over North Carolina, I can see why that pushes them over with Auburn. Again, that big donut in Q1 for the win column. And that puts it for Auburn to be in this discussion in March, they need to get a few of those in there. But like for now, I can see, because of their strong metrics, why they're right at this borderline 3-4. It should definitely be on the next line, but.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn, Kentucky, I think that the negative there, obviously, is that Tier 3 loss. But they have what Auburn does not have, wins in Quad 1.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into the four line here. Tytel, finally we get that Auburn team in here, set this top of the four line, number 13 overall.
I think they are under-seeded here, despite the big old hole, if you like to put it. I think that this region is a bunch of coaches who have not proven their ability to get very deep in March besides Kelvin Sampson. So, I mean, Bruce Pearl did make the title game. I guess some credit for that. But McDermott and Guard have been unproven. So I could see Houston and Auburn having the winner go to the Final Four.
Yeah, I kind of like that call there. Dorman, number 14 overall, our next team up on the four line. How about the Dayton Flyers?
A protected seed for Dayton committee. Oh, God. No, 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 no. Oh, my God. Okay. Stalika, look what you've done. Look what you've done.
I think Dayton's phenomenal. I really do. And the teams around them, I don't want to ruin anything that are about to pop. I think have all lost recently, one due to injury, one in a fantastic game on the road in the Big Ten last night. This is exactly where I have Dayton, and I love this Flyer team. The resume is as good as it gets. The two losses I have no problem with, at Northwestern and home to Houston. Nothing bad there. The question is, will they be tested enough come March? This is kind of like the Gonzaga thing. The A-10 is so weak that they're not really going to get tested. Yeah, there'll be some close games because going on the road is tough, but the power conferences give you so many more challenges down the stretch. But we will see. I think Dayton will hold as a protected seed come March.
Yeah, probably their toughest test of the season is coming up this weekend, this game at Richmond.
Tricky. Richmond's playing really well right now. They looked really good last night. That is a great game coming up this Saturday. My problem with Dayton isn't even really the lack of, a high, their resume not topping out high enough, because St. John's and Cincinnati, those wins are aging pretty well. My problem with Dayton is that damn song. I think we need to move them down at least a seed line because of that.
I just want to note, we talked about upcoming games. We are recording this left at 9 p.m., and all these submissions were as of the beginning of the play today on Thursday. So these games that are being played today that might be final before many of you are watching the show are not factored in. There's not too many, but a few couple Pac-12 games, a couple West Coast Conference games, Grand Canyon in a game right now. None of those factored into these brackets, by the way. But Matt, number 15 overall. There's another one of these SEC teams. How about Alabama?
Yeah, that's what I think. Alabama is basically sort of Auburn, but with a little more meat on their bone, and that they've got a little bit of Q1.
And a win over Auburn.
And a win over Auburn. But again, you got the win at Mississippi State. The Indiana State, whereas I think Indiana State should be in the inside the bubble right now. And that so you got the very strong metric. So, like, that's – I like having Alabama right here on the four line.
And let's finish out the top 16 teams. We'll go one line after this, but this one, I did not agree with this one at all. On the other hand, Matt, you like this team of a line higher. Duke Blue Devils do get in here on into the final spot. They get sent to Spokane, so that's at least their penalty here. But say, Tita, let me go back to you on this. They've two very nice wins over Baylor and Michigan State, and I'm looking for the rest of the W's, and I see three bad losses. So I did not like them in a protected seed range, but did you?
You should only see two bad losses, Chad. The Pitt game, I understand it was a home loss.
It's an two bad losses and a double asterisk loss. I'll put it
out. Thank you. You are learning quickly, my friend. I still can't believe my Wildcats beat them in the season opener, but we'll take it. I believe in Duke. I believe in Shire. I believe when healthy, this team is one of the best in the nation. I cannot wait for February 3rd to see if they can do anything in Chapel Hill. If they Most can, then I become a huge believer in this team. I don't think they'll beat them, but you never know.
Matt, was it the predictive metrics that brought you up to a three line on this Duke team?
I think yes, and actually the injuries, because especially I knew that the Pitt game, yeah, no Jeremy Roach, no Mark Mitchell, who were two of their starters. I think that, and I know, was it Tyrese Proctor missed the Georgia Tech game. So I think that's where like their losses have, except like asterisks. And like, plus if they're 16-2, we're probably talking with them right with Wisconsin fighting at Wisconsin and Marquette at the end of the two line.
I'll tell you what, look at these next three games. These are all tier one, tier two games. Clemson home, at Votek, at North Carolina. You go 3-0 in that range, and I'll agree 100% this is a protected seed. But
oh my god,
they're probably on the three line at that point for me. But I'm just not there with them yet. But you all were, so you know, my vote to put them on the six line did not go very far. I'll go one seed line at a time for the next few lines here. So let's jump right to the five line, actually, overall. These are the potential second-round matchups for those four seeds. And we see here Clemson, Iowa State, Illinois, and San Diego State. I want to start with the second team there, Iowa State, and call you out, Mr. Stalica, here. You had them number 32 overall. You didn't have them anywhere close to this range.
Wow!
I think they have, what is it, a nice net, but I'm still slow to believe as far as what the Cyclones have done to really warrant being on the number five. I mean, yes, they do have the win at TCU. And
they beat one seed.
But by the same token, you're talking about a non-conference strength of schedule of 320. Really? I get you're in the Big 12, but they could have tried a little bit harder. And by the same token, losing a neutral court game against Virginia Tech, I'm probably not going to be as high on compared to other teams that we'll likely see in the five and the six range.
Yeah. Dorman, what about these other three teams here? Clemson, Illinois, San Diego State. Clemson looks like they finally stopped their skid.
Yeah, Clemson stopped their skid. I think Illinois is probably a seed line higher if they pulled that game out last night in Northwestern in a fantastic Big Ten game that Northwestern needed really bad. I didn't have Clemson this high, but I understand they did stop the skid and got a win. No, as Mr. Titel would say, no veto. I'm good with the line. Mm-hmm.
I will just note here, Joby Fortson did submit ballots. We know what a big fan he is of the Mountain West. I wish he was here to call about. He had San Diego State number 37 overall. He had them wearing a dark jersey
in
the first round.
This is just getting ridiculous.
Just out of curiosity, where did he have honorary Mountain West member Auburn? Because their profile is pretty similar.
He had them number 15 overall. I'll do that real quick, just to call out our good friend Joby. Let's pull up San Diego State versus Auburn. I agree with you, Salika. There's an argument that San Diego State may be better because they do have quad one wins.
Yeah, and their losses aren't. Yeah,
but they're not that great of quad one wins. You know, two teams that
that's right near the cut line. Is aging like fine wine, though.
Yeah. Let's jump over to the sixth line here. Griggs, we have Florida Atlantic, BYU,
yes,
Oklahoma, and Colorado State coming in here on the sixth line. Real quickly, Joby had Colorado State 31 overall, so he had them a little higher than San Diego State. But
I had them on this line. The one outlier for me is Oklahoma, and
about teams voted number 32 overall. That's where you had Oklahoma. So
I did. And when you look at them, I'm just not – I did like the win at Cincinnati, and none of their losses are really bad. But other than that, Providence I mean, there's nobody on the list that that I think we're going to have higher than that. And while the win at Cincinnati is decent, Iowa State not necessarily the best road team. I just think that a lot of people are a little too enamored with Oklahoma, and they bloated out their record, but they bloated it out with a non-con strength of schedule at 296. And really, what impresses people so much about this Oklahoma team?
Let me ask Tytel, because
you know, they lost rather handily at home to Texas.
Let me ask this Tytel. He had the number 18 overall. He would have had them seed line higher than we do to respond about them.
What impresses me about Oklahoma? Let's see here. They have two tier one wins. They don't have any tier three or tier four losses. I think the tier two loss might end up being a tier one loss. We'll see how it goes. JNG loves them at 17. Porter Moser can win games in March. I mean, what don't you love about Oklahoma?
That is the correct answer.
Well, the home loss to Texas by 15, and really just nothing, I don't think.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick time out here. While we have not revealed whether Texas even makes this field or not yet, Griggs, you just criticized it for home loss to Texas. Texas team that you had rated number 24 overall, you have had in this field.
Yeah, they beat Oklahoma. Yeah, I mean, isn't that a good win?
So
they won at Cincinnati. I mean, they basically put Texas up there. Yeah, they won at Oklahoma. They won at Cincinnati. They won at Baylor. That's an objectively better profile if you ignore the loss at West Virginia.
In Central Florida at home. Okay, let's get back to the bracket again. Texas is not in. Colorado State, BYU, Florida.
Texas isn't in at all? You've got to be kidding.
Not in yet. Not in yet. Not in yet. Real quick here, Dorman, any thoughts on the other three teams there, FAU, BYU, Colorado State?
I like this Colorado State team. I think – no, okay. Nope. I think they – if you watched the Nevada game, they really got blown out of the gym last night. But I think Nevada's a really good team, and Nevada's tough to play in Reno. The Colorado State resume, there it is, Creighton, New Mexico, and Colorado – go at home, one neutral versus Creighton. Non-conference schedule, non-conference out of strength is solid. Again, no bad losses. I think it's a very solid, strong Mountain West Conference, and they're putting together wins. I like this Rams team.
Okay, and Tytel, real quick, we have a chance to this bracket for Kentucky BYU second round game.
And why is that interesting? Because BYU coach Mark Pope not just play at Kentucky. He was a captain at Kentucky and won the 1996 NCAA championship at, you guessed it, Kentucky. What a tough spot for him to face his alma mater.
I bet I know who he'll be rooting for.
On the seven line, I think we may have lost Lico. We'll try to get him back here. With seven line, though. I'm sorry. I'm going to mute Sleeka there. I think he's got a phone call or something. We don't want to be listening to that. On the seven
Rick
line.
Rick Pitino's calling him.
We got Rick Pitino in there at St. John's, along with Utah, Memphis, and Utah State. Both those Beehive teams. We've actually got three Beehive teams in already here. But Matt, what do you think about this seven line?
Yeah, this is pretty much a line of, like I had St. John's here, I had Utah State here. Man, Utah is a tough one. Like that, I had a recent loss that knocked them down a little bit. I think I might knock them to the 8 line, but like seven isn't bad. And then Memphis, man, they've taken a tumble down the back of the last couple of weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, they've now fallen below FAU as in their own conference even here when they were ahead of them by several seed lines not long ago. But Dorman, you want to respond about this Utah team here? You are a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, I just think the conference is weak, but. Again, Utah, no bad losses. I know the Stanford doesn't look great, but it's on the road. In conference, it's tough to go on the road and win. The BYU already in our field. That's about the end of the wins from in the field. But if you look around the teams that are about to pop up, I just think their resume is a little stronger than what the rest have to offer. They got a Colorado and Arizona coming up at home. That'll be a huge situation for the Utes. Those two games will be enormous.
Yeah, I did not like them. Griggs, you didn't like them either. You and I both had them wearing dark jerseys in the first round. I think for me, it was a lot of recency bias. They just lost by 22 points last night to Washington State. That was
well
bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a for me, it's been a recency bias, like from essentially November on. I mean, losing at Stanford, losing at Arizona State, only one true road win. While it was a good one at St. Mary's, I just think that there's more on this resume to offset one good win or one and a half good wins. And yeah, I like them a lot lower than this, but. You know, is I guess however it plays out, or a 7, 8, 9, 10, they're all kind of the same group anyway.
Let's jump over to the 8 line here. Titel, we've got Villanova, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, and Seton Hall.
That's a good one.
Well, your thoughts on those again? Those four teams, and as our next four.
Love Houston, Texas Tech. I believe that's an old Southwest Conference matchup for the Stalikas among us.
Yeah.
And I think that. UConn against Uncle Buzz, that's a tough call for our favorite uncle, especially in Brooklyn. And then in Boston, he's not going to make it that far, sadly. But, no, I think that there's a lot of Big East representation here, so I like it.
You do like it. Okay. Matt, any thoughts on these four teams? Do you think we got these about right? Maybe especially the Seton Hall team, which there was a wide divergence in voting on this team.
Yeah, that's like I always feel like it's a hair high for Seton Hall. I mean, like they have some very nice at the top of their resume, but man, like they got a couple of landmines. They got the Rutgers home loss, and then not great in the predictive metrics. I think they're a little better than that. I mean, plus I think they should solidly be in the field, but I'm not sure about wearing white in the first round. I might have them a seed line or two lower.
Yeah, suddenly a two-game losing streak when they've been playing so well. Go ahead, Sleekly, welcome back. First of all.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, one of the wild cards about Seton Hall is Kadari Richmond did not play against Providence because of an injury, so not sure how long he's going to be out. And considering this was against a Providence team that had been reeling themselves since Bryce Hopkins had gotten hurt, that was an inopportune time for the Pirates.
Yeah, so that's one of the Titel asterisk games right there, that loss to Providence. But the losses have started to pile up at 7 losses, 13-7 overall. That's... I hesitate on them also because of that. And a huge game at Marquette, 13-8, they could be in a couple days. That's rough. Let's go to the 9 line here. We're going to start revealing some potential first-round matchups as well. Dorman, let me start with you on this line here. We got Villanova gets Nebraska, A&M gets Boise, Texas Tech gets New Mexico, and Seton Hall gets Northwestern.
Wow. Those are some strong matchups. Again, Boise State coming out of the Mountain West with New Mexico. Both on the 9 line here. I'm for it. I think I know I'm in the minority, but I think the Mountain West is strong this year. Seton Hall versus Northwestern will be a fantastic basketball game. They both struggled at times against lesser competition, and they've also beaten some of the best teams in the country. Seton Hall's knocked off UConn. Northwestern's beaten Illinois and Purdue. That would be fantastic. And I like this Nebraska team. Villanova, to me, is up and down. They struggled the other night in the Garden against St. John's. They got run out at the end. Strong 9 line. I like it.
And, Matt, I want to ask you about this New Mexico team. Plano's playing very well right now. Griggs would have had them 3 seed lines higher, which is ridiculous, I think. But especially because they don't really have any great road wins. But Matt, this team is playing really well. Do you agree with them around here?
Yeah, this is where, like, I was trying to find the good spot, like, for them to, like, and I would have loved to have gotten a little higher, but I think 9's about right. Given that I said we still got the two nice home conference wins over San Diego State and Utah State, who are clearly in our field. I'd like to get one of these, like, at Boise, at Utah, at San Diego State. If they want to be wearing white in the first round, I think they probably need one of those.
You know, we are very close with St. John's on the 7 line, New Mexico on the 9 line.
Oh, man.
The possibility of a Patino first round matchup at some point.
Oh, that would be. They've played, though. I don't think.
Regular season. That's a little different when you're playing in the NCAA tournament than playing a regular season.
Right, yeah, I think they played last year. New Mexico and Iona played.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Patino and Son have played before.
I think different stakes in the postseason. Yeah. But, Stalika, let me show you the 10 line here at where we've got Michigan State is St. John's opponent. Princeton coming near at the 10 line. We'll get to them in a second. South Carolina and TCU all making this line as well.
Yeah, I think in the case of Princeton, they're still going to be above the cut line as far as the bubble. South Carolina getting some points with the home win against Kentucky. So at least you get either a quad one or at worst a win against a protected seed type team right here. And then TCU, they've been a little bit all over the place. They're winning at home against Houston, but also losing at Cincinnati. And then they had, I think it was at a tough loss at home recently.
To Iowa State, 1 point tough loss to Iowa State, and while there's not much in terms of good wins here, Matt, there's nothing bad either. I think this team belongs in here around this area, probably.
Yeah, no, I think it's right about where I had TCU down the 10th line. I think they should be in the field and probably safe from day to day, but and then I think they can play their way a little higher. I think they're a little better than they've been so far. I think the predictive metrics show that I think they eventually might be like a 7-8 seed, but they should be right about here for now.
And Dorman, South Carolina getting this line here, profile completely changes, even though it's only a home win, as Griggs would say, completely changes with that Kentucky win.
It's huge. It's enormous. Kentucky win. They desperately needed a tier one victory. I know it's at home, but that's a big one. Kentucky's playing good ball. South Carolina needed that one, and they got it. They have at Tennessee coming up, which would be another huge one. But South Carolina, I agree, got in the field based on this Kentucky win. I had them right here as well.
I was a little surprised we got Princeton Griggs all the way up to the 10 line here. I know Tytel is not happy about that, but well, only one loss. They're the only team in the nation with only one loss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that the committee was with me. I actually had them on the 9 line, albeit toward the bottom of it. So I think we were all pretty close. But really, what's not to like? And I think that they've sort of amassed their fortune by collecting, you know, pennies, nickels, and dimes more so than big money wins. But there's a lot there. You know, they've won 7 true road games. That's more than anybody else that I think we've put in the field so far. And I know a lot of them were tier 3 and 2, 3, 4, but still to go 7-1 on the road, their one loss basically came down to the last possession. It was 74-70, but it was after 2 late free throws after a foul. That game was tight all throughout, and that's all that separates them from a perfect season. Why not the 9 or 10? And I guess to flip it on you, Chad, what don't you like about them?
I was one of the lowest rated here on Princeton, actually, because I didn't want to overvalue them because I thought I always give favoritism to under the radar at school. So I was the one that you know, I just said, hey, listen, you know, compared to some of the other teams, they don't have that huge win, and they're not going to have the opportunity for that huge win. They got a real tough test this weekend, though. They got a game at Cornell, who's probably the second or third best team in the Ivy League, and we'll see if they're still here next week if they can't win that game.
He may or may not also favor teams from New Jersey not named Seton Hall.
Yeah.
11 line here. Ty Tell, we're going to show 3 out of 4 here before the first 4. And there is David Griggs' Texas Longhorns along with St. Mary's and Mississippi State.
Setting up
for Oklahoma.
Setting up the possible Marquette Texas game that will break Matt's heart if they have a 3-11 game.
And ooh. Then,
BYU St. Mary's, a nice old Western area battle. I think that Mississippi State is for real, and since Griggs hates Oklahoma, maybe they'll pull off that upset too.
Mississippi State coming off a loss has that one bad loss here, but Dorman, they've got some nice stuff on the profile as well, don't they?
Mississippi State?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The win against Tennessee. I sound like a broken record, but there's very, very few teams in the country that are going to have a win against Tennessee. And that, to me, puts them, you know, a notch above the other teams around them in the bracket that either just missed or just made. Washington State win is getting better, actually, by the day. They're okay lately. The Northwestern win on a neutral looks good. The Southern loss is holding this, I think, this Bulldogs team down, although it should because that was a bad loss. I don't know what they were doing that day. But Chris Jans has done a real nice job. I like this Bulldog team. I had them a little better. I had them seed line better, though.
Yeah, Griggs didn't even have him rated in his top 55.
Well, they don't have a true road win. And like, you know, Wazoo neutral. North Texas.
They have 6. They are 6-0 on neutral courts. Are they not?
Yeah,
is that not good?
Texas, Tulane, Arizona State. Like they've done one decent thing away from home, and that's beat Northwestern.
Tytel, do you agree with him, or do you think that you like this team despite what Greg says, correct?
Yes. If you're going to spend 60 seconds telling you why, I can, but I would just say yes and move on.
Okay, let's go yes and move on.
Don't have any true road wins. You can't put a team in the field with no true road
wins. Let's fill out that Colorado State's first-round opponent. It is one of our first four games, and that game is between Ole Miss and Kansas State. I'm not certain on this Ole Miss team. A lot of you like them, but I would not have had them in either. Matt, let me start with you. Why do they not belong in?
They have one tier, one win, and I think that's a front. I don't think Central Florida, I don't care where that game is, that's not a tier one game. There are more than 67 teams better than Central Florida.
Well, let me go to the person who had them rated highest, Mr. Salika. You had them way up on the 9 line.
I know it's going to be a little bit tough to explain when you look at the metrics right there. I mean, I'm probably giving a little too much credit as far as wins against Memphis and Florida right here. I mean, at the same time, it's going to be hard to believe that even at 16-3, it's a record similar to what you have against Auburn, but they don't have the tier two games that Auburn would. So it's not like I'm putting them that high, for example.
Real quick, Griggs, the other team on this line was Kansas State. I know you've been on this. You've been a supporter of this team, even though they're coming off a loss right now.
Yeah, they are coming off a loss. This is about where I had them. I mean, you say I've been supporting them. I had them 44 overall, which is the 11 line. They just look like an 11 seed. We have them as an 11 seed. I don't know. I don't think they should be really any better than this, but I think they should be in.
Let's jump over to the 12 line. Actually, by the rankings, I'm going to show one team, and it's only one team. This team, actually, by the rankings, would have fallen in between Ole Miss and Kansas State. As an auto bid winner, it is the Grand Canyon Antelopes. Actually, we still would have them above the bubble cut line, and they are sweating out Stephen F. Austin on the road right now, but it looks like they might get that win, which will be another decent win.
It's taken them over 15 minutes to play the last 8 seconds of this game. I'm not even that. That's not hyperbole. This has been ridiculous. The end of this game.
After Greg Cade, our last two at-large teams, here they are on the 12 line in the East region. Iowa State's potential first-round opponent. We have Providence and Nevada got in here. Joby would be screaming right now, so thankfully he's not here. But we got all six Mountain West Conference teams into this field somehow. Nevada get that very last spot.
Yeah. Well, for reasons that we'll get into later, I heartily approve of those two teams right there.
Yeah.
Tytel, do you heartily approve of Providence and Nevada?
Not heartily. I mean, they're both. I think they both make it, but I'm not convinced that they're better than Wake or the Ducks at this point.
And Dorman, do we have to put an asterisk now? What maybe, and Providence's only really good win since the injury, which was at Seton Hall, because Seton Hall was shorthanded for that game too.
Yeah, but I know it's for the rest of the year. Providence was shorthanded. No, I think Providence has some wins here, with notably Wisconsin and Marquette against teams way, way high in the bracket that push them over most of these other teams around them.
Okay. I guess I still got to see what they do going forward here. Whether that it's when it's Seton Hall, because I had them out until they won, lost to Seton Hall. That pushed them near for me. I didn't quite have them in. But Matt, what
but
about
I can tell you from experience last year, sometimes it does take a few games to get adjusted to a new chemistry like Xavier did last year when Fremantle went out for the year.
And there's plenty of season left for Providence to prove themselves one way or the other. But Matt, what about Nevada here?
Yeah, no, that's actually, I think exactly right. I think that Colorado State win basically kind of X'd out the Wyoming loss to get them back in the field. And I think, they probably should be in Dayton right now, but I think, getting that Colorado State win last night, who we have as a sixth seed, I think that's where I had them too, right at the end of the sixth line. I think that really helped push them over. Yeah, some of these, like Wake, nothing in Q1. I'm a little surprised we wouldn't have Colorado win, but again, Colorado very, very limited in Q1. Oregon, not much in Q1. So, like, these other teams, Nevada, you've got a couple of Q1 wins. One of them, that TCU neutral court won against another team in the field.
I am going to show the top four teams out first, but before I get there, even the very next team up on our seed list after Nevada by the rankings would have been an automatic bid winner, just missing the cut line. And that would have been Indiana State, who would be Illinois' opponent there on the 12 line. So Indiana State also very close to an at-large bid by this grouping. And quite frankly, at number five out overall, again, had they needed it, would have been McNeese State, who would be San Diego State's opponent there on the 12 line. So we all vote like both these teams very close to that cut line for an at-large bid should they need it. McNeese would have a horrible loss of their profile, though, if they needed an at-large bid because the Southland is so bad.
Yes.
But the top four teams out, let's pull them up here on the bottom there. They were, Matt, you just mentioned Colorado. They were the number one team out. Stalica, Cincinnati, number two. Then comes Oregon and Virginia, a team that has suddenly gotten way back into consideration here after having fallen almost completely out of the picture.
I may have conveniently forgotten to put Cincinnati on my top 25 plus 30.
I was with you. I did not have Cincinnati even on my list here. Does somebody want to make the Cincinnati case here? Because I look at them and I see a BYU team that is suspect and is not the fifth best team in the nation. And that's the only team they've beaten of really note.
Well, yeah, if you compare them to Mississippi State, I mean, they've done more than that.
Yes, no, they haven't. Go ahead,
Tytel. They have.
Sure, I am. As I usually defer to Stalica on all things Cincinnati-based, but as he's probably aware, when healthy, this team is undefeated. When they don't have Reynolds, they lose at Xavier. When they don't have Frederick, they lose their other four games. So when healthy, they're undefeated.
Well, technically, he wasn't eligible for Xavier. I don't think it was a matter of health at that point in time.
Sorry, he was out. My bad.
We have the two Pac-12 teams here, Dorman, Colorado and Oregon, both missing the field, even though Colorado has won four in a row and is getting very close to getting back. I thought maybe would make it here. They just barely missed out. I mean, I think by like one vote missed out, one point missed out.
Yeah, that's exactly where I had him. I had him either the last team in or the first team out. Oregon needs to go on a run here, and they have a great chance this weekend to start. Tonight they get ASU, but Saturday they get Arizona at home.
As we're recording this, by the way, just the start of the second half, Oregon is losing at home to Arizona State. So that would be deadly for this team.
Good job, committee, not selecting Oregon. That was,
I think these, Arizona these State. Guys,
go ahead, Dorman. Let me finish up, and then we'll go.
No, go ahead, Stalica.
I was going to say Arizona State and Stanford are basically giving the Pac-12 middle fingers out the door.
These resumes look very similar to Virginia, as I know they were one of the ones that got brought up on the board there. They got one tier one win against Florida, who I'm not a big believer in, and then A&M and Vatek at home.
Yeah, there is that Virginia profile.
More than Colorado.
Virginia has won three in a row. They needed road wins. They got a road trip to Louisville. They better win this game. They've got a chance to start building some wins and maybe getting back in the picture here.
That Clemson game on the road will be big for them.
12 other teams that got votes and did not make our field included, in order, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Gonzaga, Washington State, Florida, Miami, Georgia, Butler, Syracuse, Drake, SMU, and Appalachian State. SMU before they lost tonight, I believe. They just lost to North Texas, I believe. So I think whoever voted for SMU, that would be gone by now. But Matt, any thoughts on these extra 12 teams here?
Yeah, the only one I know we've kind of written them off, like Gonzaga's still, obviously that game at Kentucky, but like, I think if they keep doing well in the WCC, they might quietly sneak towards a play-in game and that. And actually, I think, even speaking of WCC, I think we have St. Mary's too low. St. Mary's should be a seed ladder too higher.
I kind of like the Gales. I didn't have them in, but I kind of like them.
Yeah, Griggs, how can you say you didn't like St. Mary's when you had them 54 overall?
They were in my top 55. They were on my list.
I want to throw a team out here because I had this team in as my last team, and nobody else did. Tytel,
Georgia.
Are we ignoring Virginia Tech? No. Look at this profile. They beat Iowa State. They beat Clemson. They beat Boise State. And they don't have a really bad loss on there.
Answer your question. Yes, we are ignoring them, and for good reasons. Despite all the good things they have, that's a lot of losses. 4-7 against tier 1 and 2, 1-4 on the road. I understand that the strength of schedule is solid, and they certainly will have chances with Duke and Carolina and others. But we're ignoring them for the right reasons right now.
I will say I did at least have them in my top 55. I mean, I do think you have to give some credit for the neutral court wins against Iowa State, Boise State, and even NC State on the road, but they need more quantity at this point to Tytel's reasons.
All right, if they go 3-1 the next four, teams. Yeah, they go 3. If they go 3-1 these next four, they just lose that Duke game. Maybe I'll bring them up again in about 2 weeks and try to convince you all.
If they do that, I'll like them a little more.
All right. Let's reveal the rest of the field here real quick. The 13 line.
Well, Chad, I got a question. We're going to fly through these teams really quick. What if I want to hear more about them? Like what if I want an hour-long show just on the rest of the teams?
Well, there's two things you could do. Either one, you could watch our Under the Radar podcast, or two, if they're up yet, not all of them are up yet, you can go check out their team sheets up top as well.
Okay, yeah.
Give another day or two if a few of them are not up there. Some of these under the radars are the ones that are still missing. But the 13 line, we got Duke gets UC Irvine. Dayton gets Akron, a little battle.
Oh, that's
Ohio
a great there. One. Ooh. Yes. Well done. I know you didn't do that on purpose. But that's great. Wait, how about Alabama Sanford Bucky Ball?
Thank you. Yeah, it's Alabama gets Sanford, another in state rivalry. And then we get Auburn versus James Madison as well on that line. On the 14 line, Marquette gets Drexel, Kentucky gets Oakland, Creighton gets Louisiana Tech, and Baylor gets High Point. These were chosen before the games went final tonight.
Yeah.
15 line, Tennessee gets Morehead State.
Morehead State, yeah.
Kansas gets Quinnipiac, Wisconsin gets Vermont, Eastern Washington against Arizona in Salt Lake City there.
So the back range and the top range.
Yeah.
Let's Eastern Washington playing tonight in the Nokoiwu Cup. That's our game of the day, right, Salika?
Yep.
16
it was a
line
tough choice.
South Dakota State gets Purdue. Connecticut gets the winner of a Jackson State Lafayette game. Houston gets the winner of an Eastern Kentucky Central Connecticut game, and North Carolina gets Norfolk State. That is our field. I'll do it this moment. Just go through each of you for any final thoughts you have, either on the field or on any other topic you want to address at all. Mr. Tytel, let me start with you.
I'm just going to do two quick notes on the West region. As we see in Spokane, you got 4-seed Alabama potentially playing 5-seed San Diego State in the second round. Both are ripe for upsets as Samford and McNeese are legit. But you might remember the last time Alabama played San Diego State when the Aztecs were a 5-seed was, last March, and it didn't go well for Alabama. So perhaps a little revenge game there. And additionally, why you got to match up my Wildcats with either Utah State in Salt Lake,
which
you had to beat only in overtime in San Diego a couple of years ago. You're killing me, Chad.
Sorry about that, Matt.
Man, looking at this and seeing two Pac-12 teams in, man, this is sad. Like, I'm not handling it that well, the Pac-12 breaking up and going to God knows where around the country. But, man, the final year, two teams in right now, and it's not terribly wrong. It's only two. I mean, I'd have had Colorado just in, but it's like it would be if this were today, were Selection Sunday, this is what the resumes were. I would be heartbroken for them.
We did three under consideration. Washington State got a little bit of love, also the team that's a little schizophrenic on the season too, though. Dorman.
I was going the same place, Matt. The Pac-10 going out. Very weak. And Utah, a lot of us have different opinions of Utah. I know you said that, Chad, when the votes came up. It is not so far from the cut line if they decide to go on a skid. It would be an incredible fall if the Pac-12 only gets a couple in on their last year. Colorado and Oregon are right there, but the conference is so weak that beating anyone really outside of Arizona really doesn't impress anything. So it's going to be a rough end for the Pac-12 here, unfortunately.
I agree. Stalika.
I think this would be Houston's dream regional as far as making out to Dallas. I think we were hoping we could see a few more classic Southwestern Conference teams, but this could be a potential nightmare for the rest of the country if we have to see a pace like Houston and Wisconsin in the regional final. First of 40 wins.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that game. Griggs.
A team that's coming on strong, I had them seeded several seed lines higher, but I don't think it's outrageous that we have them on the 9 line. What I will say is that between now and the end, this is just a reflection of what's happened already. We're not really guessing what we think will happen between now and the end. But I'm going to guess between now and the end, New Mexico moves up quite a bit. They play in a Mountain West conference that's tougher than what we're normally used to seeing. So there's more opportunities there than normal. And oh my God, are they playing well? They're in the top 25. I think they're absolutely deserving of the ranking. And I think they're going to be in the top half of the bracket wearing white, maybe as high as the sixth line by the time March rolls around. I've just been really impressed with them.
I agree with you. They are the team that's up and coming here, and it's Nevada that's the team that's fallen apart in the Mountain West recently, although they did bounce back last night. But on that note, you can now check out the final bracket below us here. But on behalf of David Dorman, John Titel, John Salica, Matt Zukowski, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We're back next week with a whole bunch of more podcasts. Talk to you then real soon.